The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, episode 177. Welcome to the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai. I'm your host, Dr. Yishai Barkadari, psychologist and adaptability coach to entrepreneurs and business leaders. I believe that working on your business is more important than working in your business. If you want to achieve your business goals and dreams without the cost and pain of having to make every mistake yourself, then the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai is the podcast for you. I'm here to help you learn from the lessons of entrepreneurs and business leaders to help you work on yourself and your business so that you can save time, energy, and grow faster. For those of you new to the show, the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai presents 3 new episodes each week. On Insight Sunday, we dive into the minds of business leaders through insightful guest interviews. On Story Tuesday, we dig deeper with them and learn firsthand from their stories, hard-earned lessons, and experience. On Thrive Thursday, it's just you and me on the couch, where you'll hear scientific research, my thoughts, and tangible tactics to adapt and grow yourself and your business. Grab a proverbial seat and listen up so you can learn from the minds and mistakes business leaders and apply their wisdom to your life and business. Welcome to Thrive Thursday with Dr. Yishai. This week on the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, I had Brent Freeman, serial entrepreneur, founder and president of Stealth Venture Labs, and passionate social entrepreneur on a mission to generate profits hand over fist, hand in hand, with positive social impact. Our Story Tuesday conversation was so packed and full of value that I had to just share it all with you, which meant that you get 2 parts, a double dose of lessons this week. In part 1, episode 175, Brent shared 2 entrepreneurial ventures that failed and how the lessons from those failed ventures catalyzed the creation and success of Stealth Venture Labs. In part 2, episode 176, Brent continued to dig into his complex processing of failure, loss, and grief, and he shared how he navigated them to extract some of the most important lessons that are now the keystones for ongoing success. If you haven't yet, go back and listen to episodes 175 and 176 to learn from a successful serial entrepreneur and leader who has lived and learned through repeated and profound setbacks and failure, turning them into a personal renaissance to build a bigger and better business and future. And at the end of our conversation, Brent got to ask me one question. And Brent asked how to reduce the refractory period after high stress and reduce or prevent chronic stress from becoming the dominant experience for his teams, including ways to respond better and have a better quality of life when stress attacks. So today, I'm talking about high stress and how you can handle it for yourself and your teams to keep them at peak performance. Before we dive in, I wanted to share that the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai is brought to you by Adaptability Coaching and Consulting. If you lead a 7+ figure business and want to reach the next level for yourself and your business, if you have passions, goals, and dreams and want to continue to strive as a team, a leader, and a visionary without risking burnout. If you have overcome challenges, developed wisdom, and know that adapting is not just for surviving, but a core part of thriving, then adaptability coaching is for you. With psychology and neuroscience-backed tools, the 3D adaptation framework can show you how to tap into and harness the way our brains are uniquely designed for adaptation. You can learn to harness and leverage adaptability tools and frameworks to grow yourself and your company. You can learn to become fast, flexible, and formidable. You can learn to hone yourself further to proactively adapt, to thrive, instead of reactively adapting, just to survive. To learn more, go to dryishai.com/coaching. And now, without further ado, let's dive into how to handle high stress spikes to prevent long-term fallout. I need to begin with a bit of a disclaimer because I'm talking about some slightly more advanced topics and concepts when it comes to understanding and dealing with stress. So if you want to get caught up, you can go back and listen to episode 78, A Simple Guide for Your Stress, and also last week's Thrive Thursday episode, episode number 174, How to Handle the Stress Cycles of Entrepreneurship. One of the things I talked about last week is how stress spikes and stress cycles can really happen for entrepreneurs. And I wanted to extend that to talk about how teams can get pulled into these stress cycles. And the stress cycle has five components that end up circulating and going around and round and end up feeding back into each other. The first is having a new problem or deadline. The second is a stress spike that follows this new problem or deadline. After that, for those who really move into that next step or phase, they focus and get clarity on what the problem is. And after step three of focusing and gaining clarity on the problem, they can then move into step four, which is developing a solution and implementing or addressing that problem or working towards and accomplishing what they need to for the deadline. Step five is developing a new system or process to then handle it better in the future. And that brings us all the way back to step one, where instead of the same problem repeating itself over and over again, there's a new problem or new deadline that's showing up. Now, I want to say if you miss out on one of these steps, it can create imbalances in this cycle and accelerate problems. For example, if you don't get clarity on the problem, if you don't really focus on it, which is the third step, it's much more difficult to then implement an effective solution, which then kicks you back to having to still deal with this problem or deadline without really having the clarity. So you end up right back at step one. Even when you and your teams do find a solution for the problem, if you don't create or implement a system or process so that you can handle it better next time, you are more likely to find yourself back at a stress spike when the same problem or a similar deadline comes back around again. So if you don't complete the fifth step, then you find yourself repeatedly with the same problem because it wasn't addressed in a systemic or process-oriented way. It's important to recognize that this cycle of stress for entrepreneurs, and that can happen with your teams as well, is a five-step process that repeats itself and creates really high stress spikes, not just a kind of everyday run-of-the-mill, need-to-get-my-work-done kind of stress spikes. And one of the things that happens as your company grows and as you build out and develop more teams and as your teams are then taking on more of these challenges, more of these problems, more pieces of this cycle, when they are right there with you in the trenches, that's when they may start to struggle with or be at risk of developing this kind of chronic stress. And I want to share that that's something that many entrepreneurs also deal with, which is why last week I really discussed some of the personal pieces to that. However, as entrepreneurs, it's something that we often choose to sign up for. And there may even be parts of your personality, of the way that you think and react, and the way that you relate to, whether it's business and the world and your personal life, that draw you to that. Whereas not everybody is going to have the same internal drives or processes. Okay, so what can you do about the cycles of stress in your company and your teams? I want to draw on a metaphor. And the metaphor I want to draw on is like a rubber band. Because when we experience stress, that stress pulls us tight. And what it can do is let us slingshot forward with focus and with power, with intent. But what a rubber band needs is an opportunity to return to its original shape and to spend time in a more relaxed state without the chronic pull. Otherwise, if you constantly put a rubber band under that strain and that pressure, and by pulling it, it will eventually get bent out of shape or snap. Which means to break up the cycle, you need to intentionally insert one or more steps. So rather than just allowing the five steps of this cycle of stress to repeat over and over again with new or novel problems and challenges, instead of just letting them happen over and over back to back to back, you need to be intentional and shoehorn and insert and create the space to put in one or more steps. So I'm going to outline what I like to call Dr. Yishai's five C's to curb chronic stress. I'm also going to say that my five C's to curb chronic stress are best used like a menu. You can pick one or two and have it regularly to create a culture that protects against repeated high stress. Or you might choose one and use it at a particularly high stress moment that you and your teams need it most. Or you can even pick a special moment to create a full five-course extravaganza as a rare treat. In brief, the five C's are calmness, celebration, creativity, connection, and consideration. For each one, I'm going to explain briefly what each of those C's means and give an example or two of how you can implement them. But the examples are only the tip of the iceberg for how you can implement them. All right, we're going to kick it off with calmness. Calmness is all about creating time and opportunities to slow down, to set down responsibility, and to rest. Companies sometimes accomplish this with a floating holiday policy, or summer Fridays, or having a holiday party during work hours. Maybe sometimes even as opposed to doing a requested holiday party after hours. It can even be during a big push to meet a deadline. Contrary to what you might assume, taking small breaks consistently will increase productivity, and that holds true even and perhaps especially under high stress situations. The second C, celebration, is all about after you've developed a solution, after you've implemented that solution, after creating and putting into place a new system or process, after getting feedback that this new system or process worked better, and it doesn't have to be perfect. That is a moment or a cause for celebration. Celebrations can be big or small, personal or public, and can come from any of the five types that are uncovered and shared by Gary Chapman. He talks about five types of appreciation and how different people will gravitate or feel more appreciated in different ways. And so those five types are acts of service, quality time, words of affirmation, tangible gifts, and appropriate physical touch. You can even mix and match them. For example, having an award ceremony is a big way that massive industries like movies and music, as well as large corporations, use to acknowledge people's work and accomplishments. Without having a moment and an opportunity for acknowledgement, if it was just a process of diving straight back in after completing a deadline or solving a problem, if there was no time or space, no opportunity, no bandwidth to have a celebration, what happens is it becomes a monotonous experience. And one thing that I touched on last week in episode 174 is how our brains take our experiences and use them to develop our expectations for the future. Our brains are very good at anticipating based on our own personal past experience. So when you or your teams are hitting deadline after deadline after deadline, you as an entrepreneur, as a leader, might feel like they're doing incredible things, like your company is making incredible strides. And inside, they may be experiencing that there's just deadline after deadline after deadline, work after work after work. And they'll start to anticipate that as soon as they complete one deadline, overcome one problem or set of problems, that there's another one waiting in line for them. And that can increase the likelihood that your teams come from one high stress situation and begin expecting that they're just going to be chucked straight into the next problem or issue. In a way, what you want to do is interrupt or disrupt or change that pattern, that set of experiences. So just a few ways you can do that includes having a big party, speeches, a trophy, and or gifts all at once, like the Emmys or the Grammys. And I know not every week can or needs to have a big, grand gesture or a party. It can be small or even subtle, yet consistent gestures. A weekly rundown of accomplishments, or having a problem solver of the week shout out, or a point or star system. And you might be able to implement something that lets people redeem that for a prize or extra time off or something. Or perhaps taking the time and extending the gesture of having Uber Eats deliver someone's morning coffee or their lunch to them, especially if you know what their regular order is or what their favorite order is. There are so many ways to celebrate both the people and the accomplishments, as well as overcoming the challenges or problems along the way. And it's really important to frame and communicate the celebration. If somebody just receives a coffee and they have no idea what that's for or about, they may not experience it as a celebration, and it might not disrupt the way they're experiencing. They're going straight from one deadline or problem into another deadline or problem. And speaking of breaking up the monotony, the third C is creativity, and I like to include play in there. And it's all about creating moments that are low stakes, that get people engaged and working cooperatively and or even competitively, and doing a fun activity that diverges from everyday expected job responsibilities and the typical stress cycles. There are a few really good examples of this, even in a corporate environment. Atlassian's Ship It Day, 20% time, or sometimes known as side project time, is one great example. Atlassian is well known and has gotten a lot of publicity for being intentional about carving out and creating time in which people can pursue something that is important or meaningful or enjoyable to them that may still be work-related, but has nothing to do with their everyday, day-to-day, run-of-the-mill responsibilities. And in case you're wondering, companies like Google also implemented systems or processes like this at one point in time, and it produced for Google some of the more well-known products like Gmail, AdSense, and Google News. For Atlassian, it resulted in several mainstream improvements to some of their major projects like Jira, Bamboo, and Confluence projects, and also resulted in thousands of bugs eliminated from their systems in under 24 hours. In fact, for those of you who are interested in tech or are involved in tech, the whole concept of a hackathon is very much oriented around a very similar idea of taking a 24 or 48 or even 72 hour period and just working on a single project that breaks up or breaks away from the typical everyday A to Z responsibilities. Of course, you don't need to run a hackathon at your company, especially if your company is not a tech company, in order for them to be able to have time that's allocated or set aside to move away from their typical job responsibilities and take on something that may be important to them, a project or a challenge or even a problem that they see at your company that they think they might be able to help out with. So moving on to the fourth C. The fourth C is connection, which is about being in it with others, holding the challenges together, not feeling alone or singularly responsible. In fact, according to the work of Dr. Kelly McGonigal, a health psychologist, one of the most interesting stress reactions is that our body actually produces oxytocin, which pushes and pulls us to connect with people. And it's interesting that in the moment of stress or extreme stress, that our body is not just pulling us away from people, but rather pushing us to engage more with people. And for you and your company, some examples of this might include a regular check-in, an ad hoc debrief, or taking a moment to touch base and creating the space to vent, share, and just talk through something without judgment or risk of retaliation. Having connection includes a safe space, a space where a person can be vulnerable, and also a space that I'm going to say has clear lines. It can sometimes be helpful to just be able to vent. And at the same time, sometimes if there are no lines, the venting can become unhelpful or even damaging. Moving on to the fifth C, consideration, is all about, rather than ignoring or brushing off stress, learning to zoom in and understand stress better. And that can help you reframe stress as gearing you and your teams up to dig in, rather than relating to stress as just another problem or source of negative disruption. This is also connected to some of the research and work of Dr. Kelly McGonigal on stress that shows that when people believe stress is only disruptive or unhelpful, that actually contributes to more negative outcomes, including health issues and productivity issues from stress. Whereas when people believe that their stress is there to help them out, to help them gear up, it can actually reduce or even eliminate many of those, if not all of those, negative effects that people frequently relate to and experience as being stress caused. And as a special bonus, I'm actually going to share a secret C, which is one of the most important components that is present for each and every one of the five C's, and without it, can really undermine everything you're trying to do. The bonus secret C is called caretaking. And that means taking into account your and your team's workloads to ensure that they have enough slack in their bandwidth to make use of each of the other options and strategies and opportunities that I outlined above. For example, this includes being clear and aware of your deadlines, active projects, and what is lined up next so that you can control the flow of work and make sure you slow it down to create space for calmness, celebration, creativity, connection, or consideration. Now, I know that's a lot to keep track of. It's also the most common problem I see when leadership do not account for and ensure their teams have the bandwidth in order to be able to implement and really experience calmness, celebration, creativity, connection, or consideration, they're just creating an environment that contributes to and even generates that chronic stress because it keeps throwing them from one problem or deadline right back into the next one. So take your caretaking seriously and pick from your menu of courses to help your team come off a high stress time even stronger. So to recap, it's really important and helpful to understand the five stages of the cycle of stress that shows up not just for entrepreneurs, but for companies where they encounter a new problem. They have a moment of stress. The stress hopefully helps them focus on and get clarity on what the problem is. And then they implement a solution. And once they find it successful, they then develop that solution into a new system or process. So that problem now has a way of addressing it that doesn't cause such a high spike. And once that's the case, the next problem that's going to cause a spike is a new or novel problem again. From there, we talked about the rubber band metaphor and how important it is to recognize and understand that when a rubber band is pulled tight, if it's continually pulled tight and put under tension, it's going to get bent out of shape or snap at some point. Whereas it's really important and useful for the longevity of a rubber band, and therefore for the well-being of your people and for their productivity, to be able to slack, to increase and introduce certain kinds of slack into the system. And what that entails is stepping in between the various steps of this cycle and inserting one of the five C's to curb chronic stress. And those five C's, again, are calmness, celebration, creativity, connection, and consideration. For each one, I dug in and shared a number of different examples or ways in which you can integrate them into your company and your workflow even. I even shared the circumscribing C, caretaking, that is such a big piece of this that without which what can happen is your people and your teams are thrown from deadline to deadline to deadline, and they don't really have an opportunity to experience something different to break that pattern, which can help reduce or prevent that chronic stress. And if you're curious why this is all so important, I'm going to actually point you to an episode I did a few weeks back, episode 159, A Science-Based Framework for Ensuring Balance in Business and Life, That episode really covers how and why it's important to counterbalance and ways in which you can be intentional about doing that. And so inserting the five C's into the stress cycles that exist at your company and in your business is one way of counterbalancing the forces that can contribute to and increase stress, high stress, and risk for chronic stress. And on that note, I'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us today on the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai. If you enjoyed today's episode, take a moment to rate and review the podcast. It helps grow the show and gives more people like you the ability to learn and grow. You can also click the share button to share today's episode directly with someone you know who would enjoy it. The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai podcast artwork is made by Sam Barkadari, show notes by Yishai Barkadari, and music by www.purple-planet.com. The advice and opinions of the host and guests are our own. I'm a psychologist, but not your psychologist. The conversations and content of this podcast do not contain or create any psychology practice, diagnosis, or therapist-patient relationship with either the guest or the listener. So do your own research before using anything from this podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember, our thoughts and reactions affect our actions. By listening, we can learn from the challenges others face and the choices they make, so that we can make better decisions and get better results.